I'm going to read a few verses from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 2. I'm going to speak on a couple of people who admittedly don't play quite a bit part in Scripture. In fact, they're mentioned a number of times, but only ever briefly. And I was at a wedding not many days ago, and I was speaking, and of course at a wedding, you often get a reading about Adam and Eve quite properly. That's when marriage was instituted. And yet Adam and Eve, in one respect, are poor role models. They rebelled against God almost straight away. What were they thinking of? So there is a couple called Aquila and Priscilla, who are mentioned several times in the Bible, who strike me as a wonderful pair of role models, not just for folk who are married, but for anyone who is a Christian and desires fellowship and desires to faithfully serve the Lord. So Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. So, we come across Aquila and Priscilla at the beginning of chapter 18. And interestingly, they're always spoken of as a couple. Sometimes in the Bible, take for example Noah, we learn of Noah, but not his wife's name. And as we are all descended from her, it would be rather nice if we knew it, but we're not. But we are given Priscilla's name. And I think that is emphasising the kind of teamwork which they offered. They worked together, they supported each other. The Holy Spirit preserved both of their names because we can learn from both of them. But before any of that, Luke gives us that detail in verse 2, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. I think it's the historian Josephus who tells us a little detail about it. There were, at the time of Emperor Claudius, there were riots in Rome involving Jewish people and a character called Crestus, who a number of historians think, well, that was a corruption of the word Christ. And it might be that Jews had fallen out over the gospel. And the Jews had begun rioting because some were believing in Jesus the Christ and others were not. Word gets to Emperor Claudius, and he's not terribly interested in the niceties or complexities of Jewish theology. So he just says, chuck them all out. And it sounds like Aquila and Priscilla, even though I'm pretty certain they weren't busy rioting, that they were made homeless as a result. So in one respect, they are suffering together, and they're suffering for the sake of the gospel. And yet, because they were exiled from Rome, because they were turfed out of the place where they lived, in fact, the Lord was able to use them in a mighty and a powerful way. Here, they're having fellowship with the Apostle Paul. And because they both make tents for a living, they've got something in common. They can support each other. All because an emperor called Claudius decided to rid his capital for a period of time of all Jewish people. Bad things happen to all of us. But we who trust God know, or ought to know, that God uses all things, including the bad ones, for our good and for his glory. Had Aquila and Priscilla never left Rome, I'm sure they will still have heard the gospel. They would still have believed it. But we might never have heard of them. And they might never have achieved some of the goods they were later able to perform. So Claudius, who didn't probably even believe in the God of the Bible, I'm pretty certain, was doing the God of the Bible's will by helping to spread Jewish teachers and preachers around the empire. But for the people themselves, Aquila and Priscilla, they suffer. They've lost their home. They've probably had valuable business contacts in Rome. People who bought tents back then, it wasn't really families going camping, but soldiers, of which there were a great many connected to Rome and those who led it. Well, they suffer together. We then come across them, again, in the same chapter, from verse 24, when we come across Apollos. Now, I preached on Apollos before. Apollos is, or was, an amazingly clever individual who has a partial understanding of the gospel. There are many people like him still around. I'll read from verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. It's not clear whether Apollos is a saved man or a man who is seeking. Now, there are Christians who are saved and born again, but their theological understanding is weak. And the good news is, to get to heaven, you don't need to pass a theology exam. So he might be a saved man who doesn't fully understand. Or is he somebody who's filled his head and his heart with knowledge, but because he only knows about John the Baptist and perhaps hasn't understood the cross and the resurrection, in fact, he's not yet saved. It's not clear. But whatever he believes, he preaches it. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, So here we've got Aquila and Priscilla again. Again, because of they've been expelled from Rome, the Lord is using them elsewhere. And they happen to be in the synagogue on the day when this clever, erudite young man called Apollos comes preaching. And they understand there's something about him. He's seeking God. He's almost preaching the gospel. But he also doesn't really know what he ought to. Do they actually lead him to the Lord? To a full salvation, or do they simply add to and increase his knowledge of the gospel? I'm not sure. Of what I can be certain, though, is that God was using Aquila and Priscilla. I'm sure that he took them to that synagogue that day when Apollos was coming. Now, Apollos then goes on his own preaching tour, and I'm sure the Lord used him in a mighty way. But before he used Apollos, he was busy employing Aquila and Priscilla. If ever you get the opportunity to spend time with an immature Christian, somebody who's recently been converted, and you're able to help them, to share your experiences with them, to encourage them, to get them deeper into scripture. The Lord is using you, because when they go off and they begin to share their faith, in fact, you've almost been investing in them. The Lord has used you to encourage them. So Aquila and Priscilla, they suffer, they're made homeless, but the Lord uses them. Here, God is using them to speak to and through Apollos. If Apollos is so mighty in the scriptures, why couldn't he just work it out for himself? But of course, the scriptures then are the Hebrew scriptures, only the Hebrew scriptures, and they are God-breathed, they are helpful, they are wholesome, but the New Testament is still being written. The knowledge of Aquila and Priscilla was in their head. It was oral. The apostles were teaching it and preaching it. But it may not yet have been fully written down. This couple, God is using them in a wonderful way so that a man like Apollos, who's probably better educated, finds a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ through them. We come across them another time. In fact, there's several times when they are mentioned. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we come across a number of greetings being communicated by the apostle, as was his custom. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19, "The churches of Asia greet you," that is the Corinthian church. "Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. With the church that is in their house, all the brethren greet you." So this couple who were made homeless by a pagan emperor, who then went on to invest time and effort in this clever young man who doesn't really know half as much as he thinks he does, we now find them hosting a church. In the first century, I don't think there were any church buildings or specially dedicated chapels. People met in homes. And there are many advantages to that, even today. There are disadvantages as well. But Aquila and Priscilla, they've got a home again. Did you spot that? So when we first meet them, they've effectively been made homeless by the emperor, but now not only do they have a house of their own, but they're using it as a church. And I don't think that means, you know, they painted it in spiritual colours and put a little altar with a cross and candles or a hymn board or an organ. None of that. I think they're meeting in the front room. And they get out the benches and they get out the chairs every Lord's Day. And they do effectively what we do. They pray, they sing, they read the scriptures, and they teach them. This couple, Aquila and Priscilla, seem to be so useful to the Lord and to his people. They're always spoken of together because they were a team. A great picture, of course, of marriage. But also for folk who are not married, within a church we cooperate with each other, we work with each other, we support each other. Where one has a strength and another a weakness, the strong will support the weak. I suspect Apollos was a greater preacher than Aquila, but Aquila still helped him. So here we have them hosting a church, but not only are they interested in that church which they are hosting themselves, they heartily greet the Corinthians in the Lord. Is this the perfect couple which every church would long to have on their membership roll? There's nothing in the text which would indicate anything negative or unattractive or undesirable about them. It might be, of course, because we don't get much detail. And yet there's something about this pair of people which I think can teach us so much. So number one, the value of marriage. Adam and Eve are preached on far more often, of course, than Aquila and Priscilla at a wedding. But in one respect, Adam and Eve, they weren't good role models. Aquila and Priscilla are. Number two, they teach us about service for the Lord. Wherever they go, whenever we come across them, they always seem to be busy. They're not busybodies, but they're active for the Lord. You never hear of them being indolent or lazy. They're busy for the Lord. Number three, they're busy for God's people. There's a need for a church. Is our house big enough? We'll make it big enough. There's a young man over there preaching in the synagogue. He's very close to salvation. Or maybe he is there, but he's not quite right. Shall we leave him for Paul? Shall we wait to see if Peter crosses his path? No, let's take him aside and help him. And fourthly, here is a couple who knew what it meant to suffer. I'm sure they suffered more in the end. They may even have suffered martyrdom like so many early Christians did, but we don't know that. What we do know is that they were made homeless by an emperor who treated them unfairly. They had no right to appeal. They could have said, well, we're Christians, you know. You shouldn't be treating us like this. God used that unfortunate circumstance to take them on a journey around the Roman world, in which God used them in a mighty and powerful way. When bad things happen to us, when things go wrong, when things are unjust, when they're unfair, remember this. God can, God will use it for his glory and for your good. I'm glad, even though it costs me nothing, I'm glad that Aquila and Priscilla were forced to leave Rome. God used them more in the Roman world than ever he could have in that Roman city. I commend to you Aquila and Priscilla. Amen.